Yeah, I think what I said there, yeah, well, definitely. Before we start, I smell novel that one. Yeah,
it's
I'm humbled by your comments. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I think that's good. Not going to be more. Yeah, even this, yeah, that it matters well when they speak to that other group, but I'm more accepted in today's technology. Because of our skill set and our voice. Yeah, colleagues, if there is no any other thing, will I be wrong to say welcome to this meeting of you? Can we now check with Dr. Bawa if he is ready to take us off the field? Then if he is, I will be happy to waste of time to request that to
thank you, Chief. Chief, I just want to write that there's a rule regarding what you wear under that skirt. I'll share it with you after the meeting. There's a rule. Chairperson, yes. Thank you very much. I think to start off with, just by summarizing what was also indicated yesterday, is that the Constitutional Court found the portions in the Constitution 12th Amendment dealing with Matateo to be invalid because of a procedural defect arising from the fact that the KwaZulu-Natal legislature does not have any public engagement regarding that legislation. The Constitutional Court then went ahead and said, but the legislation supporting that Constitution Amendment, which contained all the operational and the consequential arrangements, so that was the cross-boundary cross-boundary municipalities, laws, the appeal and related matters well, and I would refer to that as the Act because it was the Act that was found to be invalid, and the prison bill just referred to as the cross-boundary bill. The Constitutional Court then said that likewise, if the provisions in the Constitution 12th Amendment are invalid, the same applies to the provisions of the cross-boundary Act that deals with Matateo. And that is what the present bill is trying to rectify. The cross-boundary Act contains all the consequential operational arrangements. And the matters that it addressed, if I can summarize them, first of all, it dealt with the institutional arrangements to prepare for the local government election. Was set to take place on the 1st of March 2006. So it created a mechanism to deem, fiction basically, to deem the proposed demarcations to be proper demarcations, to deem the proposed Section 12 notices that would establish new municipalities in those proposed areas to be proper Section 12 notices. It provided for the NEC for local MECs for local government and the IEC to take all the preparatory steps to provide and prepare for the elections on the 1st of March. That was the first set of arrangements. The second set of arrangements was then elevated basically to a higher level, to a more provincial level, to say that all permits, licenses, etc. issued in the one province would be honored and kept intact by the receiving province. So we created that transitional arrangement. Also made provision for the transfer of provincial functions and powers. So that was the scheme of the Cross Boundary Act. And what the Cross Boundary Bill is doing is reintroducing those particular provisions as they apply to Matafiel, but it goes a bit beyond, as was indicated yesterday. For technical reasons, the order of invalidity was only formulated with reference to Matafiel, but it affected all the municipalities that were affected by the realignment of the provincial boundary. So what we're doing, we're reintroducing all those provisions in respect of Matafiel, Umzimbubu, Umzimkulu, the district of Mzol, and the district of Lilongwe where Umzimkulu was relocated to. Chairperson, now, one must also realize what we're doing here. We're doing this in a new bill, which will become a separate act. And on the advice of the state law advisors, the city should be good for prosperity and for people not knowledgeable of this whole process, to insert a kind of footnote in the original Cross Boundary Act, just to alert people to the fact that we have reintroduced these provisions. And if honourable members then will turn to the bill, that is then exactly the first clause in the bill, is that particular footnote. We're inserting that into the original act to say, in the application of this act, that is the original Cross Boundary Act, as amended by this bill, the long title, due regard must be had to the provisions of the Constitution 13 Amendment Act. So it's a kind of footnote to alert people the context within which this legislation has been enacted and processed. Chairperson, that is the first clause in the bill. It is basically that footnote. Chairperson, then the second clause is exactly as what has been done in the Constitution 13 Amendment. We are merely replacing the existing references in the Cross Boundary Act by this law. So you'll find the references to Umzimkulu, Sizonki, Alphatonzo, Umzimbubu, and Makatiel. And as was indicated yesterday on the maps, Umzimbubu and Matapial was reconfigured in this whole process. So clause 2 replaces the references to Matapial, Umzimbubu, Umzimkulu, Alphatonzo, and Sizonki in schedule 4 of the original Cross Boundary Act, and clause 3 replaces all the references to those municipalities in Schedule 5 of the Regional Cross Boundary Act. Chairperson, if members would go back to the original act and compare, they'll find that they are exactly the same with three exceptions. So I can refer the honourable members to page 6 of the bill. You'll see there are paragraphs C, D and E. The notice referring there, notice 43 of 2005 of Eastern Cape. If you compare that to the original act, it's another notice number. Now that was the internal number that was forwarded to us at that time by the office of the NEC. This is the correct government gazette number, so we are improving on the old references. So that is the only difference. Apart from that, 43, notice 43, which is formally something like 395 or something, if I can remember correctly. Everything else is exactly the same as it was in the original law. Chairperson, then clause 4. Now we have to find a way. As I said, the structure of the original act has these general things to say. We deem certain demarcations to be proper demarcations. We deem establishment notices, proposed establishment notices, to be proper establishment notices, etc. We found it necessary to reintroduce that as well. Now, it would look funny if you replace that or if drafted in a generalized way. So the manner in which we thought best to do it is to reintroduce them in this manner as is to be found in Clause 4. To say Section 2.4 of the original Act applied to these municipalities that we've just listed. That means Sizonki, Alpha Zo, Umzum Kulu, Umzum Bubu, and Makatiel. Apply afresh to them. So that is all that clause 4 does, is to make those provisions, those generalized operational provisions, to make them applicable afresh to those municipalities. And because we're doing this in this bill, and it will become a separate provision when this bill becomes an act, that is why we put in the footnote in clause 1 in the original act. Just to alert any researcher or the public at large to say, listen, we've reintroduced these things, just remember that, because of the constitutional imperatives. Chairperson, that is basically the content of this bill. The bill was published for public comment in terms of section 154 sub 2 of the constitution. Those comments were basically targeted. The comments came to us, but it was targeting the constitution 13 amendment. So what we've done in the portfolio committee, and that summary was presented yesterday by Mr. Lopez-Fonte from Justice, we just combined all the comments because they actually all targeted the principle in the constitution 13 amendment of moving Matasiel to the Eastern Cape. And those comments were all collated in that summary. They're exactly the same. And as was indicated yesterday, they're not really of substance. It's merely a call for Matasiel to be retained or moved back for the UNATOM. Chairperson, and that is basically the background. The bill is a section 75 bill, which means that the members will vote in the individual capacity in the NCRP.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bauer. I think what you have said at the end, you have said that there are okay. Because some of us are not interested that it's a section 76 as well, or because it affects the rule boundaries, municipal boundaries. But what you said, I think it will make it likely. You can only refer to it when you do promise, just to make them aware of what we are doing. Just to simplify issues. But colleagues, I think it's clear. To me, you know, it will appear as if we are from Chibri or continuing in yesterday's mission. But it's still fresh, you know, so fresh in my mind. But let me open the floor for discussion, questions for clarity or comments or any other thing. Honorable West, you are first, followed by Honorable Yossi, followed by Honorable Judy, and the last one is Honorable Max.
Thanks, Chair. I think it's a procedure right. We're going back to the provinces for the Constitution 13th Amendment Bill, where there will be public hearings, some more limited than other provinces. And then this particular bill will go through once that one is approved or passed, if I'm correct. We're also going to go to the province, but we're not presenting this one this week to the province.
You'll respond on the process, but this one, no, we don't have to bring the process about this one. No, this one, no, the internal bills, like all the other bills, that they are being signed. So that's why I don't have to worry about this thing. You cannot refer to it when you present, for example, this one, some people now also change that fall under this. But they're not obliged to do that. Yeah, but first I want to respond to that one, to the process. Before I allow members to come in, this is the process that has to listen the only part after the main one, the yesterday's one. What is the process?
Yes, Chairperson, this bill is wholly dependent on what happens to the Constitution 13th Amendment. But in the House itself,
there is a debate on the adoption of the Constitution 13 Amendment, but first the appendix is before one can think of it. Otherwise, you stop running into problems with withdrawing an approved bill and things like that. So procedurally, even in the House, the debate on the Constitution 13 Amendment must first be concluded, and only if the 13 Amendment is passed, can the House then attend to this particular bill. I think, so far as consultation is concerned, it's just background information when going through the problems on the 13th Amendment to say this bill is and it's against the reenacting the operational issue that supports the Constitution 13th Amendment.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll just request Dr. Bauer to take us again on the map and try to clarify what is the problem with the matter here. I mean, not wanting to if we look at the map yesterday, you could see that swimming is premium, they belong to the Indian chief, and if she can explain the reason behind the resistance.
Thank you very much. Well, there is a time to sort out the technology with our secretariat. So I would just begin to identify those who have to say, Sitoskuru, the Kailanga, were belonging to Eastern Cape. But this changes now, Matomakuru, Mashotan, Mamchaplena. They are now going to switch from Eastern Cape to Burundi. You know that? Yeah. Are you back? Are you ready now? Oh, you're back. Okay. Yeah. Mamchaplena, you ready now? Good. We talk about it. Yeah. First, the issue of maps, I hear with you.
Okay. See, what I can in anticipation just already indicate, there are basically three challenges that we have. First of all, practically speaking, your municipalities have to operate across provincial boundaries. Both in respect of Matatiao, which has a little island in KwaZulu-Natal or in Zimbabwe, and both are offered in Zimbabwe with two locals quite far apart from each other within the area of jurisdiction. Chairperson, the second thing is if you start looking at the small island of Matatiao, provincially, you start running into trouble also with ward configuration. Remember, wards are determined according to the number of voters and your councillors. So if there's not enough members in that area to constitute a ward on its own, the ward must link up across provincial territory into another area. Then also the third main aspect was the Halmaluti area that was integrally economically part of Matatiao from time immemorial. All the money spent from the rural area was in the town of Matatiao. So the integration and the inheritance that we have from the negotiated province act from 93 that resulted in the interim constitution gave rise to this particular situation. As I said, it was never properly resolved. In terms of the interim constitution, it was a conflicted area. The provision was made to even create, as I said yesterday, a 10th province to deal with that. So when the decision was taken by the Presidential Coordinating Committee to deal away with cross-boundary municipalities, those are the technical cross-boundary municipalities,
government saw the opportunity at the same stage to deal with this cost down the conundrum that exists in that particular area. And those were basically the reasons for realigning the provincial boundaries. Added to that, the state government is currently facing a kind of difficult situation, catch 22 situation, in the sense that those provisions were found to be invalid because of a procedural defect. And the mandate from the Constitutional Court is sort out the procedural defect. The Constitutional Court then went ahead and indicated you must do that by processing legislation afresh. So that is the first imperative that is informing this legislation. The second aspect added to that is that the judgment on the that founded those provisions to be invalid was given 6 months after the whole process of realigning functions, powers, budgets, everything has commenced. So government has progressed a long way in giving effect to the legislation that was found to be invalid at that stage. That order of invalidity has been suspended for 18 months to allow government to continue operating with a realigned boundary. But then one thing I did not add is that that's a further complicated factor to considering the changes to what we're dealing with now, is the fact that the whole provincial government is also now the subject of a white paper process. And we cannot anticipate the outcome of that process. Now that in the media there's a lot of speculation regarding all kinds of things related to provinces. But to now start changing what we've already, from an administrative and institutional perspective, have given effect to, must then also be impacted on that process. And that is why the position of the executive and government in processing this legislation is to only comply with the Constitutional Court's mandate to rectify the defect and keep things as they are when they were introduced, as they were introduced by the Constitution's Bulk Amendment and the original Cross-Boundary Act. And that is why the approach of government is to really reintroduce those arrangements because of all these three imperatives. And we might need to come back to this at a later stage. We cannot anticipate the outcome of that white paper process. Chairperson, I hope that helps also placing it in context, the two pieces of legislation.
Thanks, Dr. Bauer. Even though I don't agree entirely with what was said by Honorable Wes yesterday, but it has some logic. So that's what some people are saying. Even some poor colleagues from the Eastern Cape here in the Southern, you know, are saying, you know, some are saying, those who are from that area, but yes, they're saying, no, my material was never told down. But why are we now putting it? Because it was never declared a cross boundary. Why is it affected? That's one argument. The second argument is what I refer to, that was said by one of the West people, to say, people are saying, but right, when the phone comes to say whatever, why are we looking and changing our boundaries? Now, some of other teachers, people, you know, that's one of them, but there's some other things that they should consider. But there's a strong view to what I just said, even from our colleagues here. I don't think anything to say, but one colleague of ours, who is a member of the CSS, she actually told me that the non-members, those who are going to conduct public hearing, they'll still consider provincial campaigns, because we're never concerned that they want to be legal. We're forced to go to the government. Yeah, our article 4 is to how do we respond to those kinds of arguments that people come. Why are they still storing those responses? Therefore, but the change is here. As it stands now, for example, coming under clause 2, this table down there, that number of tables, 5, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, go to the second page, again, as said is there, that one, the song, is important as well. Yeah, then you follow the same line. Then you go to after the door of the Eastern Cape. You go to Uzen Wubu, Eastern Cape. You go to Matajel now, Eastern Cape. Yeah. I think it seems to simplify issues if we look at them that way. But if my understanding is accurate, just correct me before I. And go and tell people some incorrect people. Yeah, can you respond to those and see how we can go? Then,
maybe
we. I can see the way you have explained it, first year, just for those minor technical questions that have to be responded. Other than that, I think the bill is clear. What do you have?
Thank you, Chief. Just to come back to just the reference to the map that we described yesterday, is that technically speaking, a cross-boundary municipality was where a provincial boundary ran through a municipal area. So in a technical sense, these affected municipalities were not cross-boundary municipalities, and that's why they were never declared as such. But practically, they were cross-boundary areas. We had to cross a vast provincial territory of another province to get to a municipal area. And all those practical challenges existed in this area the same as it did to a large extent with the proper cross-boundary municipality. So operatives and officials had to travel across KwaZulu-Natal territory to attend to district matters in the Umzumkulu local municipality and vice versa. Umzumkulu municipality officials, they have to attend meetings at the head office of the people. They have to travel through KwaZulu-Natal to get to the same territory that belongs to the same district. The same with Matatea.
Can I ask us to pass this thing with the same understanding? In terms of the IDC, in terms of the demarcation board, Matatea was never called on. Do I agree? I want to tell you this one, I want to tell you. It was never in Kotong. Thank you, then. Yeah. Because all the Kotong were declared in formally, in writing and in documents, right? But this one was never part of this. That's why I want us to pass this one again. We move with same understanding. Now we can move to the other comments by Darren.
So technically they were not cross-boundary, they were not listed in the cross-boundary original legislation, they were not declared as such. But both affected municipalities were islands. So you had to have all your cross-boundary activity from municipal officials and provincial officials in dealing with those particular areas. Chairperson, I don't know if I should progress into the table that you've mentioned, because I don't think we can take it any further than that. Chairperson, then if you look at Schedule 4 of the original Cross Boundary Act, this basically three things. It took a proposed demarcation, that's your first column there under Clause 2, identified by the different maps, and elevated that to the proper demarcation. It then went to say that in that area, you will have a municipality with a particular name and designation. That's your second column. And it says that municipality will fall in a particular province. So just to explain the reason for that. When the legislation was processed, in preparation for the local government election, the boundary realignment has not yet taken place. So it was technically not possible for the MEC in Eastern Cape to issue a Section 12 notice, which is your instrument of establishing municipality in respect of Matatea, because it did not form part of the Eastern Cape province at that stage. So what we did, we asked the MEC to publish a proposed Section 12 notice that reads, if the Constitution 12 amendment goes through, this is what the new municipality would look like, and this would be its name in our province. So, the columns there under paragraph D, C, D, and E on page 4 of the bill relate to the reconfigured two district municipalities. The Donkey, falling already in KwaZulu-Natal, but it's mentioned here because it's it was reconfigured by the inclusion of Umzinkulu as a local municipality in Zimbabwe. Alfredsville is the newly configured district municipality in the Eastern Cape, comprising of two local municipalities called Matatiel and Umzumbubu. Umzumbubu is listed there, because Umzumbubu was made small, if you can remember the maps yesterday. So Umzumbubu was reconfigured. That is why Umzumbubu is mentioned there again. And Matatiel was included, but also reconfigured at the same time. Matatiel was made bigger from the old Matatiel portion because it was there. So that is the reasons why they were listed as such. Now Schedule 5 of the original Act, and that is in Clause 3, dealt with slightly different matters. And just refer to the original Act, is to say that the municipalities that are listed here, Dank Umzinkulu, Tizonki, Alfredsville, Umzumbubu, Matatiel, is the operational arrangements to say they're coming from somewhere. So they are successors entitled to a former municipality that existed in that area. And that is what those columns then indicate. To indicate the first one is the newly designated municipality with its new name in the proper province, and then we added for cross-reference so that people know where it came from. The old designation, the old demarcation board designation of that particular municipality. So if you look there on page 4, clause 3A, the new municipality number would be KZ586, as it would fall in KwaZulu-Natal. But then for cross-referencing, we say that Umzinkulu previously was the Eastern Cape municipality with a designation EC05B1. So that if anyone reads an act at some stage and sees EC05B1, the cross-referencing is there to facilitate the understanding of what was done in the whole process. And that is repeated in respect of Tizonki, Alfredsville, Umzinkulu, and Matatiel. So those are the information for this
one. Yeah. I think it's clear. Any other questions? So what will remain is only the question of maps now, just to see especially the other than that, I think we are kind of this. But now, welcome to. Yeah. Our winning matter. But I think we're expecting it because this one we can only wait for those maps now, other than that's the way we can. Can I share what I was doing as
Thank you.
Yeah, he's learning. He's saying he needs to see. Because after our guide is there, he's telling us about the journey for the church. For it to reflect the engine.
Yes, sir. Chairperson, I see that I do have an old hard copy of those maps here with me. I can give it to the tomorrow just in my copy for that. So I just discovered here at the bottom of my phone, so that can be made.
Yeah, that progress is essential. Very progressive.
I think this is my apologies. Chair, just say that what is for yesterday is not right. So I think I agree with all of you. It's really just like to have, otherwise we had gone through the man. Unless it's the same.
Yeah, maybe to have them move that when we go to service, just to show them. But the bubble one, yeah, for them to see that they will, that they then will.
Any other questions?
If there is none, because as it was said earlier, for us to have this bill, we have to wait for the other bill satisfied before putting it out. Yeah. So what we're going to do, because we're going to give not less than 4 weeks for the 13th ministry to go through all the processes, it means we can only consider this bill that week of the 6th November. Yeah. Because that's way for that was the process, yeah. That's what it's going to be for that one process. So, but unless if we might need some clarification for the partners, yeah. I mean, those not passing it, so we can call them to come back, but other than that, they're going to do that. Yeah. If that's what I'm looking for the future, that would be good. Yeah. So we're just saying members have given some packages to send them what is important to the person who's my own saying now. So we have some packages. on a serious note, you are saying there's some interventions that will be coming as well. But because it's a priority, because the position court wants us to have this thing in February. So if we leave it until after December, it means we'll come again in December when people are on the test. So if it's in our program, in our position, we'll have to give several times to one so that they will pass it to make sure our colleagues in both programs do what is next by the position court. Yeah, Spencer, is there anything from you? If there is nothing, thank you very much for taking us through this deal. As I said, this one is really, it looks so short and brief, but you untake it. It moves mountains. Let me check from our colleague who isn't taking the engine on the sailor, who will be the parking shot and all my notes.
Before my boss, I'm not sure that I could bring the question very special privilege while waiting for the copies of the map, if you can just sum up something. I'm really repeating the same thing. How does this one affect those areas? Because legally speaking, I know technically speaking, they were cross-bounded, but legally speaking, there are no cross-bounded things. So how would it, in the Constitutional Court ruling that the extent to which this affected that area, then not affected, how would it affect, they were not cross-bounded legally speaking?
Yeah.
chairperson of the bill confirm the suspension order of the Constitutional Court. I think that's the shortest way to put it. So let's just maintain what the Constitutional Court order kept in place. Confirm the Constitution's open amendment and the original court boundaries. Chairperson, if it's not upheld, or literally, and I would like to use that terminology rather, if the legislation is defeated, we're talking about basically the Constitution. Second Amendment, first of all, we are looking then at the pre-1 March 2006 configuration of all those islands, all the old municipalities. And then the Constitutional Court order made it very clear. In that event, Parliament must come back to the Constitutional Court to ask for guidance on how to deal with that matter. Because then it will affect everything. It will affect the election, the reconfiguration, all those kind of things. So we cannot anticipate what the court, what guidance will be given from by the Constitutional Court in that event. So I think that's a short answer.
No, sir, I think the exercise from yesterday up to today has enabled us or empowered us to be able to deal with this matter and to deal with emotions and the practicalities of the situation. But all that I would require now in terms of what we need to do tomorrow is who is really responsible for the logistics of moving from where we are to where we will be briefing, because at least for my province, I'm not aware of any arrangement, flight arrangement, accommodation or anything, except that the briefing is taking place in Cornelia, but that I know. But how I move from here to there, nobody has spoken to me about that.
Yeah, no. Thanks for raising that. The office of the House Chair, our Nigerian, have you been on the call? Normally, it was our Nigerian officers in the old places, that was it. But I learned the office, which had those powers, are enemies. I was very good when I came here. I said, Father, I'm leaving today. Where am I booking? He was so surprised. I said, no. And I talked to the Nigerian officers first. They gave me some steps. You could see that we're back to those countries. But let me promise you, colleagues, that we'll make that day you try to get that plan. Because if you take over some functions, you'll be able to perform them. Yeah, I see a forest of hands now. Your ruffled feathers are very good. Your now ruffled feathers are very good. Honorable Nyanda and Honorable West.
Thank you, Mr. Senator, for introducing me to the Honorable Divine. He came late, they were here. We were taking our flight to take. They were here.
Yeah, we'll also say from the side of the table. Make sure that all of the things are arranged. You can't be found one before someone on there. Doing some of these were just so important because of the national economy.
Thank you. I just wanted to confirm and say that your provincial, your Asian officer, both can give you the time. The different time. I know one's 9 o'clock, we've got one in the precinct, the other one's at 11. So, you know, and the booking and the flight was just done by Father. So.
allies stay in countries that are Friday. So the booking for tomorrow is something to plan. So I was talking to Mario, asking him about the department that we agreed on here yesterday, that maybe I'll find them there already, because I'll be leaving tomorrow. I can't leave today. They're not my connecting flight. So Mario said no, he's going to contact the lighting office in the institution at our transition.
Yeah, I can put it on record and put it in a temple. It's a very careful book in the area. I can tell you, Mother will handle some of those challenging issues. So that he has never said in the first place. I can put that in the book. Yeah. On that note, then we thank Dr. Bauer and
I think you're a student. Because now, we're just standing outside waiting for the map. Someone just wants a particular thing to be pointed out.
We might take Dorian, you might do it forever. But then, just make sure that the maps are arranged, that they're brought in here for us to them. Yeah, thank you very much. You are a student. Yeah. Colleagues, as the agreement yesterday, we're going to adjourn now as local government. But we're going to sit immediately after some 10 minutes or so comfort break to assume again now as the justice cluster, as the security and social affairs. Thank you, Bamungu. So welcome. As agreement, if we're still agreeing to that kind of arrangement, so that we are able to live here on time. Can I request to check advocate Momoti that side and Nabo Shahida and everybody to come, because we'll be starting with the other committees. Yeah, the local government committee is formally adjourned. Thanks for it.
All connections like to the Western City are true, so we decided to walk on the street.
So I should have a lot of stuff on the other side. Thank you.